Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This time on Homicide.
Sometimes in homicide investigation, the person who actually masterminds it is not the actual perpetrator. They sit behind the scenes and it's a bit like a puppet. So how do you prove a murder? It's about looking into their background.
He had the world at his feet.
There were drugs, there were wild parties. It all starts to unravel.
And once you're in the boot, it doesn't end well.
He was a dead man walking.
I now have two different stories.
They were no match for his investigative skills.
This is your opportunity to tell your story, to tell the truth as you know it.
I didn't do it, Ron.
I'm Ron Eddles. As a kid, all I ever wanted to be was a detective. I ended up spending 42 years in Victoria Police, 25 years in the Homicide Squad. I investigated more than 320 murders and solved most of them. Every murder victim deserves a voice, and it was my job to be that voice. Now I'm taking you step by step through my most challenging cases to show you how we track down the killers. This is Homicide.
Wayne Amey, Part 1.
The disappearance of Wayne Amey is probably one of the most intriguing investigations that I've been involved in. Wayne Amey was 54 years of age. He operated a gym in Hawthorne with his son, Patrick. I guess Wayne was someone who was a creature of habit. He would go to work most mornings at around 8 to his gym and normally finish somewhere around 9 o'clock. And each night he would then go to Toorak Road to his favourite small Italian restaurant. They have a bowl of pasta. Then normally home to his unit, which is also in Hawthorne, sometime around 10 o'clock. On the 11th of December 2013, Wayne didn't turn up at work. And Patrick, Wayne's son, he's not overly concerned, but he thinks, I'll go and check my father's unit, which is only about a kilometre down the road. He goes there, he can't get an answer at the door. So he thinks, well, I'll go downstairs and I'll see if Dad's car's there. He goes to where Wayne would normally park his car. The red Hilux ute is not there, but there is a pool of blood. From that point, he reports his father missing. So where's the starting point for this investigation? With missing persons, one of the things is to look at those very close to the person that's gone missing. In the case of Wayne Amey, I knew he'd been in a relationship with a woman called Robin Lindholm. In 2005, they met and they fell in love. They bought an apartment in Hawthorne and they moved in together. And they had a harmonious relationship. She was reasonably attractive, blonde hair.
Robin Lindholm, she had that sort of foxy good looks. She had always been physically fit, very attractive, athletic-looking woman.
I'm Andrew Rule. I'm an associate editor of the Herald Sun newspaper, and I've been writing about true crime for more than 40 years.
Wayne Amey had a good apartment. He had a good car. He was a fit, good-looking guy. He had the world at his feet.
they looked like a power couple, a successful young businessman and his glamorous girlfriend.
I discovered that they bought a property together down on the Mornington Peninsula. It was valued at $1 million. It was where Robin kept her horses so that she could go riding. So Wayne and Robin had a good relationship for about 7 years. But they separated and Wayne was living in the apartment on his own at the time of his disappearance. One of the first things that we did when Wayne disappeared was to go and see Robin. I knock on the door, she says, "Ron, I was home all night. I don't know anything about his disappearance." So we then get to the point of establishing a timeline. Where's Wayne been? What's he been doing? We went back and we got lots of CCTV footage. We know that he worked at the gym from around 9 a.m. to somewhere around 9 p.m. or thereabouts. He's then gone to Toorak Road to the Italian restaurant, and there's some closed circuit TV showing him sitting alone having a bowl of pasta. He leaves there 10 past 10 p.m. and there's some more closed circuit TV at the address where Wayne was living. And it's at about 11:20. Wayne returns home and he's driving his red Toyota Hilux Ute. It's some 10 or 15 minutes later that the red Hilux comes out. There's a EA Falcon grey colour comes out with Wayne's red Toyota Hilux. Both cars leave. So for whatever reason, that car seems to be now connected to Wayne's red Hilux. So we are able to obtain the registration number of the EA Falcon. It's registered to a lady in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. And she said, "Well, yes, that's my car, but I lend it to two of my friends, Torsten Trebert and Johnny Ryan." So now we know that they're more than likely the two people that are in the car in Wayne's car park. From that point, we still don't know where Wayne is. Does he have a bank account? Does he have a credit card? We find out that at 6:30 a.m, Wayne's credit card is used at Romsey, which is an hour north of Melbourne. So then you ask the question, well, is that Wayne? Where's the Hilux? One of the possibilities that Wayne is friends with these people. For whatever reason, Wayne's decided just to go on a trip. Sometime later, we got some video footage from another ATM in a western rural town of Melbourne. And quite clearly, the person using the credit card wasn't Wayne. The person that we identify in the photo is Torsten Trebert. We're able to establish that he'd been married. I think he had two children, but he'd separated from his wife, and the new lover or the new female in his life was Robin Lindholm, Wayne Amy's ex-girlfriend. So again, it leads me back to Robin. But she said to me, "I was home. I don't know anything about the disappearance." And quite clearly, she's not at the scene. Sometimes in homicide investigation, the person who actually masterminds it is not the actual perpetrator. They sit behind the scenes and it's a bit like a puppet, I guess. They pull the strings. In this case, my gut is telling me Robin's actually pulling the strings. I need something. I need some way in which I can prove that Robin's involved. The key to this is to find Torsten. So we put out a broadcast to look for Torsten Trebert, but in particular, Wayne's red Hilux Ute. On Friday the 13th of December, local police spot the red Hilux Ute. They check the registration number. It's got false plates on it. All of a sudden, the car takes off and there's a chase. They chase the car, the red Hilux ute, to a creek in West Brunswick. The car can't go any further. It's blocked in because it comes to a dead end. At that point, we don't know who's in the car. All of a sudden, a man gets out of the driver's seat and their female jumps out. There's nowhere for them to go other than in the water. They both jump into the water. The police are calling out, "Stop, stop." For whatever reason, they did stop. They came back and they looked like drowned rats. Lo and behold, it's Torsten Drabert. And the woman with him is Robin Lindholm. They're both handcuffed and taken back to the homicide squad. The police there make a search of the red Hilux, but Wayne is not in the Hilux. We still don't know where Wayne is. We don't even know whether he's alive.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Torsten is taken to the homicide squad, and so is Robin. Torsten says, "Ron, I haven't slept for 3 days. I've been on the gear." Robin's the same. And what he means is he's been on methamphetamine, ice. They're then allowed to sleep, and eventually it's not until Sunday afternoon that they will be fit for interview. I now know that I've got at least 3 days to dig into the background of Robin. My gut's telling me that she's involved, but gut instinct won't be enough. I need to actually find some evidence. So, who is Robin Lindholm? Very attractive female, came from what I would say is a very good family, brought up in the Baptist church.
Robin came from Glen Waverley, which is a byword for sort of middle-class Melbourne. She was born there in a sort of a model nuclear family. I'm Andrew Rule. I'm an associate editor of the Herald Sun newspaper, and I've been writing about true crime for more than 40 years. Robin was no dummy. She got good marks at school. She went through Kilvington Grammar School, which is one of the better girls' schools out that way.
Robin had a love for ice skating and started skating probably at the age of 10 or 11 and became a very good ice skater. From all accounts, everything was really tracking along well until the point of time where she decided that she could probably make more money stripping. She thought that she could make a quick buck. And all of a sudden, all this good upbringing, Baptist church, fantastic education, all starts to unravel. Robin wanted to be involved with those who, for whatever reason, had a high profile in the criminal world. She was attracted to money, and it was exciting. There were drugs, there were wild parties, and for whatever reason, that appealed to Robin. At some stage, Robin was in a relationship with Alphonse Gangitano. Alphonse was known as a standover man within Lygon Street, Carlton. So they were heavy into the underworld. If you mentioned the name Alphonse Gangitano to a young police officer in the late 70s, early 80s, they would tremble. And I was a young police officer, and Alphonse Gangitano was somebody that I would never want to meet.
Robin was a stripper. We know that she knocked around with other strippers. And one of them was a woman called Shari Davidson. They were starting to do drugs because that's the reality of these things. It softens the edges of a bleak world. They were running around with bad guys. They had criminal associates and criminal boyfriends.
In 1995, Shari Davidson went missing and her body's never been found. An inquest held later on found that more than likely Shari Davidson had been murdered. A man named at that inquest as being possibly involved was George Templeton. In 2005, George Templeton went missing and his body has never been found. On the night that he disappeared, Robin was there. Robin had been in a relationship with him.
Concerns are growing for a missing reservoir man who disappeared from his home more than a week ago. Police say George Templeton's last contact was a mobile phone text message to his fiancée early last Tuesday.
I'm just absolutely bewildered by it. I've never ever known of George. George is quite a possessive type of man and he would never leave his family for that amount of time and not contact them.
George Templeton went missing in May 2005, and it's only a matter of 2 or 3 months after that that Robin forms a relationship with Wayne Amey. And then one of the avenues of inquiry was to look at the relationship in the latter years between Robin and Wayne. 12 months leading up to Wayne's disappearance, there were issues around property that they jointly owned on the Mornington Peninsula, which was worth $1 million.
My name is Gavin Silbert. I was the Chief Crown Prosecutor of Victoria. So Robin Lindholm and Wayne Amey, their relationship did turn sour in the end, I think over money. And there'd been an ongoing family law dispute over a property. Wayne had obtained an intervention order preventing Robin from going onto the property. There was a very acrimonious dispute, and in fact she was intent on salvaging that property from the relationship, and there was a hearing due in the family court.
The court case was set for the 11th of December 2013. Lo and behold, he goes missing on the 10th of December, 12 hours before the court case. All of a sudden, that raises a lot of suspicion. So what we have here is Robin associated with the disappearance of Shari Davidson, Robin associated with the disappearance of George Templeton, and we now have Robin associated with the disappearance of Wayne. Robin is someone who thinks that she can manipulate men, and quite clearly she's done that and done it very well. So we made a conscious decision that a female police officer had the job to interview her. I think Robin expected there to be a male detective there, and there wasn't. Robin plays on men. She thinks that she can lure men over and bamboozle them. So when it was a female that was going to interview her, she wasn't happy. But she didn't admit any involvement whatsoever in Wayne's disappearance or say that she had assisted in any way. And then I commenced an interview with Torsten. Torsten, I want you to tell me everything that you know about the disappearance of Wayne Amey. He says, Ron, I can tell you what happened. Robin and Wayne were due to go to court on the 11th. Torsten says, Robin wants everything and she doesn't want the court to make a settlement. She wants Wayne to disappear so that she can have it all. So Torsten says Johnny Ryan was asked to go around and just bash him. Only bash him and do nothing else other than that. Torsten says, I agreed to go with him. All of a sudden, Wayne turns up. Johnny jumps out of the car, drags him out of the Hilux, bashes him, and he lifts him in and throws him into the boot of the Falcon. He is still alive. I couldn't honestly believe what I was... I didn't want this to happen, Ron. I said goodbye to Johnny and I didn't see him again for at least another 8 hours. Torsten says Johnny rang me and he says, oh, I want you to come around. So we meet at about 3 o'clock in the morning and Johnny says, like, I finished him off with some stab wounds. And Torsten goes, mate, that is effed. And basically what he's saying is, it's all Johnny's fault, Johnny's involved, I'm innocent. And then Torsten tells me, I know where Wayne's body is. And he said, in the middle of the night, we drove up the highway for maybe 3 or 4 hours and dumped the body. He tries to describe the location, but it's very difficult for him. He's unclear as to where the exact location is. The best that he could recall was these big boulders somewhere in northern Victoria. And he said, there's a big boulder that has like a circle in it, but it's indented. So he said, all you need to do is find the big boulders, find this circle with the indent, and you're going to find Wayne. I think, are we?
Next time on Homicide.
I have two competing stories.
I swear, Ron, I'm telling you the truth.
They were no match for his investigative skills.
You don't have to go this far. You don't have to go this far.
There's so many elements of this case that would make you shudder.
The pressure was on. We're looking for a needle in a haystack.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.